Well, girls, we're in hell. Hi.
Hello.
Welcome back to Smell You Later.
Your favorite podcast about scents and smells. Yep.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to start the episode off like this.
I know. It's so bleak.
I don't want to stoke anyone else's anxiety, specifically my own.
New York City's hottest club is...
Oh, God. New York City is scary as fuck right now.
Well, we're both boosted, so...
We're both boosted. I got a negative rapid. The girls are testing positive. It is so scary. She's here. Ms. Omicron is here.
Mm-hmm.
It's no laughing matter. Please go get vaccinated. This shit sucks. I'm so fucking sick of this. I'm sorry I'm starting the episode off like this, but please go get a goddamn shot.
Why does Omicron sound like a DJ?
I think it sounds like a Transformer.
Yes.
You know?
DJ Omicron.
Exactly. Okay, anyway, we got to get off this. Yeah, I'm not a good place.
No, let's not. Let's not.
But we say that to say that we share your anxieties in this fucking pandemic that will end at some point, I think. So
I don't know, man.
You're not alone.
I don't know about that.
Okay, we're not helping Sable.
Sorry. Well, it's the same thing with, like, the flu. And, like, we're at the point where, no one gives a shit about the flu, even though it's still a thing.
I guess I never
maybe it'll get to that level where no one gives a shit.
Well, this is...
Well, actually, we are at that level. We're not.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus. I was going to say this isn't a pandemic podcast, but this podcast was born not out of, but in a pandemic. Yes. So
it's a pandemic, baby.
I guess we have it to thank for doing it ourselves.
True.
Which is great. So yeah.
I know. We ideated this podcast way before, like, March. I want to say, like, March 2019, when we were meeting up with... studios.
Well, no, because I wasn't here till July. So I landed and you texted me and you were like, do you want to do a fragrance podcast? And I was like, no. And then we kept
we were almost all set to record in a studio. Yeah. And I'm like wondering what this would have been like if we'd had, but
I'm glad. I
kind of like this better.
This is much better.
I feel like I would have been more intimidated.
There just would have been more scheduling and more parameters. Yeah. And obviously, you and I don't do well with, like, being boxed in.
True.
We cannot be managed. So I'm glad that we're doing it ourselves. It gives us a lot of freedom and all that. And yeah, it's better. It's more fun.
It is more fun.
Fuck everyone else.
Literally fuck everyone else.
They still follow me on Instagram, the network. And I'm like, yeah, keep looking. Keep watching.
I wonder, I'm just like, are they even a thing anymore?
I don't know. Oh, fuck, right.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm like, that whole shit shut down.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know.
Best wishes.
Best wishes.
Love and light.
Love and light.
I knew we did just my mic, sorry. It's almost the end of the year.
It is.
Crazy.
I know.
I guess we already did the end of the year judge in our end of the year episode.
I feel like
it's like
all of December is just end of the year content.
We are careening toward the holidays. I just looked at the date and, like, yelled.
I didn't realize it was, like, past the midpoint of December. It is just about the winter solstice.
I fully still think it's August.
As do I. As do I. Yeah.
2021 flop.
Flop. Truly. Like, what?
No,
I tried.
Actually, I had an awesome year. I'm just very anxious at
the moment. The Smell You Later award for best attempt goes to 2021.
Exactly. God.
It tried.
This
it really did.
Show has been a big silver lining in my entire year, and
honestly,
I'm extremely grateful for it.
Yes.
You know?
It really has. It's kept me excited and energized about things, which I think is one of the more difficult things we've all struggled with, is just, like, staying motivated.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even going to go so far to say hopeful. I'm just going to say motivated.
Yeah.
Because I am not motivated.
Meanwhile, I can't stop being motivated.
Like, what is there left to achieve? I don't know.
I don't know.
And then I'll, like, see someone go on a fancy trip on Instagram and I'd be like, that's what I want.
You want to travel so bad.
I know. But now they're like, it's so difficult with testing and blah, blah.
Yeah.
Also, I keep seeing cheap flights and then I'll be like, oh yeah, I want to go to St. Lucia or something. And the hotels are like $1,200 a night. And I'm like, well, never mind.
You can get a comped hotel though.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. If there are any hospitality people who would love to comp me hotel, I will spawn.
Just, like, do a tutorial from the bathroom.
I will 100% do that.
Easy. People are,
like... Spawn the shit out of that.
People are, like, thirsting to rope lifestyle into beauty. So, it, like, makes perfect sense.
Yeah. What's really funny is this custom, or maybe, like, individual... I don't know what they were. Like, custom earplugs brand reached out to me to, like, do a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
I am very, it like kind of makes sense because I was like, well, I go to shows, I play in a band and I always wear earplugs when I go to shows just because I'm a baby who has sensitive ears. And also like, I would like to keep hearing things well into my age. So I do think it is important to wear earplugs, but like the deal they were offering was like not good. Mm. But I was like, I can already think of so many funny earplug content to make.
Yeah, that is funny.
Just surrounded around like, I've heard enough. But I was like, yeah, they don't have money. I could tell. So
I don't wear earplugs when I go to shows.
Really?
Because I can't hear anything anyway.
Okay. So you're already deaf.
It honestly
hurts my ears.
Really?
It's legitimately unpleasant for me.
When I was at Charlie XCX in that like 3 foot by 3 foot room with like 400 Brooklyn queers, I was like, oh, I do get it.
Yeah.
This place is loud.
I will go to the bathroom and just like ball up toilet paper and stick in my ears.
Really?
Because it's not fun when it's like shrill and, you know?
Yeah.
I don't like that. Like even when an ambulance passes by too close to me, I'm just like, stop.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, that's not.
I get it. Someone's dying, but it's not my problem.
Mm-hmm. I liked what you put on your, to pivot to something that still has nothing to do with fragrance. I liked what you put on your Instagram story today about like, when did you know that you had made it?
Oh my God.
I thought that was cool. Why were you thinking about that?
Okay. So I recently, like one of my like stupid little dream things, you know, like a silly sort of attainable, but when you think of yourself like 10 years ago, what you thought was unattainable and what you have now.
Mm.
And one of them was to have all of my dinnerware be Hasami porcelain, which is this old school Japanese brand, I guess. It's like weird to say brand when it's based on like a legacy of a town, but anyway, it's just a porcelain brand. It's the aesthetic. It's very like minimal, unglazed ceramics, and everything fits into everything, which I love.
That's nice.
Yeah. I remember being like in my early 20s being like, oh, it'd be so great to like be able to afford this.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of like a dinner plate's like $60. Like,
girl.
Yeah. It's like expensive, dude. So I've been slowly building my collection and now I'm like, wow, I kind of have that. That's
nice. So nice. I love that.
And then now I'm upping the game and I'm like, you know what? I want a Toto toilet or like a fridge that looks like a cabinet. It's all like home stuff.
Yeah.
Basically, like, how do I upgrade my home so I never, ever have to or want to leave?
But, you never do anyway.
Which is true. Yeah, it's true. I already never want to leave.
Yeah.
But like, it's the little things.
I love
that. Or like, you know what? Central air. That's a big thing.
I love that question. And
that's
corresponding answers because I think you can tell so much about someone.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I've also recently been thinking about things that I have now that I thought were like so fancy and unattainable
like
10 years ago. It ties back to like when everyone's like, oh, you get like all this beauty stuff for free, or like you don't pay for fragrances, which largely we don't. And yes, we do get a lot for free. But, oh, I was at Lucky Scent or Scent Bar the other week and I was sniffing the Comme des Garçons and they're like $90 for the small bottle. I think it's like $140 for the big bottles. And I remember when I looked at the $90 price tag and I was like, oh, that's not that bad.
Yeah.
My 23-year-old self would have been like, abso-fucking-lutely not.
But I think it's also like not even about the price itself. I think it's about like how you view
value.
Value and money and the investment of it all.
Absolutely.
You know?
But now like things that I absolutely would have been like, that's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, I can do that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Or like a $30 candle I also would have thought was insane.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, that's not that bad. Or maybe it's just because we know that like, these could be way more expensive.
Yeah. I think you are also just like so much more of a nester than I am. I guess I have become that in the last year.
Yeah.
Because I love my place so much. And
really like done it up.
I snapped.
Yes.
But yeah, you think a lot more about your home than I do now.
Yeah.
Now that I have everything I want.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
That is true. Like everybody thinks of money differently because I know people who will like live in like the shittiest part of town in like a room with no windows, but then they'll like ball out every weekend like on drinks and dinner and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just like where you place your value.
Totally.
Yeah.
I think when I felt like I had made it the first time was when I bought my BMW. Cause like,
that's fucking huge.
I know. I mean, I was 20.
A car is a huge purchase.
26.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I mean,
Titan.
Cars a huge purchase. I like didn't even realize it at the time, but like I have.
And a BMW.
I have loved BMWs from jump. Like I've been obsessed with them since I was like 15. I just like, I love every body style.
Yeah.
I love every model, you know, and I've just really become it's always, I don't know why, I've just like, they like imprinted on me. I remember the first, like, it was 2000 and probably three, and I saw a BMW M3 that was that model year, and I was like, that's the sexiest thing I've ever seen, and I've like never been able to shake that. And like, I was driving this little tin can, and then the engine eviscerated itself. And so I was like shopping for cars, and I just like found this BMW that like worked for me and I wanted, and I could make it work, and I did. And I was like, oh, I was like, huh, this is weird. Never thought this would happen.
Is that the car that you drove to Kara's wedding?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, ooh, that was a nice one. It had heated seats.
Yes. Oh, and I think, the heated seats car. Yes. I was like, I have made it. Not to be like material about it, but it was just like something that I've had loved for so long and felt so out of reach. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm at a place where like it's not out of reach anymore. How nice.
Material possessions, though, like really can be definitive of, you know, your standing or your place in life, or like economic achievement, which is, you know, what everybody fucking emphasizes.
Yeah. Or like work, like I don't even know what I'm trying to say. But yes, I agree.
Work about
no, like how hard earned. You were.
You're deserved.
Some shit.
Yeah. Rewards. Yeah. Rewards.
Also, like, it's okay to want things.
Of course. We always want, like, imagine never wanting. Well, it's probably some like Zen Buddhist monk who just like, I'm like listening to a bunch of podcasts on like happiness and, you know, all that Zen shit. Yeah. And there's like that one quote that's like, happiness is not something to achieve. It's like a lifestyle or a perspective. Mm. And a lot of times people think like, once I have this, I'll be happy. Or once I do this, I'll be happy. When the truth is that you could just be happy with the things you have. Mm. And like true happiness is being happy with the things you already have. Mm. And I was like, well, how convenient for you.
Right. I am happy, but I do want a toilet. Right.
I'm like, I'm happy, but I would love a Toto toilet.
Right.
Like, that's just the icing. Mm-hmm. I don't need it, but it would be nice.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, I don't want, like, a doorman building. I don't need somebody watching my comings and goings. But, like, yeah, certain things, I'm like, oh, that would be nice.
I love my doorman building, and I love all of my door people. I have a psychosexual relationship with every doorman.
Really? Yes. Okay, that's also low-key. See, I have that with, like, my local baristas, which is cool because if you're, like, if it gets spooky, you can just not go there anymore.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
I have like an ongoing flirtation with so many baristas that I'm like, this will never go further because I have a good setup with this place right now.
Yeah.
Where they'll like, you know, give me like a little extra pastry or like a coffee on the house every now and then. I'm like, this is good. I like this. Let's never go further than
this. Right. This is all I need.
Because if it goes further and then it doesn't work out, it's going to be weird. And then I'm never going to get free coffee anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sorry, peers. It's not meant to be.
It's fine.
Anyway, is this a happiness podcast? Oh my God.
I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what kind of podcast it is, but I always love it. I
know. We're flexible.
Speaking of happiness, I was, you know how I was saying some dumb shit about like when I was anxious a few weeks ago, shock, and the fragrance I put on like immediately calmed me down or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I got some like positive feedback in the DMs about that. And I only say that because I was like, oh, this resonated with someone, you know, a few people. Great. Yesterday, listen, I don't know. It was a long week. We're recording on a Saturday evening. Every day was like scarier and scarier. And I was just like by 5 or 6 yesterday, I was had just been like taking these like anxiety punches all day, like exhausted by it, like not feeling great. And like after work, I like shut my laptop and just like shaved and like took a really long shower and got out and was like padding around my apartment with my little bare feet, and I whipped out 1996 again or whatever the fuck I wore last time, and sprayed it, and I immediately say it was like flipping a switch. And I'm not saying it like cured me. I'm still a basket case, but I was like, huh, I'm really glad I host a podcast about fragrance because I have a lot of feelings surrounding this shit, you know what I mean?
Totally.
I don't know, man.
I don't think there is a moment where I won't spray a fragrance on.
No.
There's like no, just any time.
Yeah.
Even if it's like, I haven't smelled a smell in a while. Let me spray something.
Right.
I have a whole apothecary of scents.
Please.
Yeah.
more and more every day.
Yeah, that's so funny. The other day I sprayed on Cloud.
Yes.
And it immediately made me think of you, yes. Which was like immediately like, ah, this is nice.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Normalize scent imprinting with your best friend.
Exactly. Please.
Or like anyone close to you who's a source of comfort and just buy their perfume and just keep it when you're away from them.
Yes. Also buy Cloud.
Also buy Cloud.
I got a few more DMs this week about Cloud and they were like, add me to the list of people who you've convinced and you're right about. I was like, I will.
God, we need to start making commission on this. Come on.
Honestly, I should. If I knew how to work Excel, I would have a spreadsheet of all of the people I've put on the Cloud.
It's okay. I feel like it's good to just keep it anecdotal.
Yeah, that's true. I don't need to know the facts.
Yeah. I don't need to look at how many coins are in my pocket.
As you say, the less I know, the better.
Yes.
That has changed my life.
That is my mantra, to be honest, is the less I know, the better.
Oh my God, wait. I have given so many people in the last maybe 3 weeks the advice that you have given me about freelancing. Because weirdly, people have come to me about freelancing advice. I guess not weirdly, it's all I do.
Yeah, I was like, you do a lot of it. Yeah, like, why is that weird?
But sort of about like rates and like how I charge or whatever. Mostly it's been like freelancing and tied to money, whatever. And I said to all of them, I was like, Sable gave me the best freelance advice about how to scope a project when you said, I charge by how much I don't want to do the project.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone was like,
yeah.
And I was like, she's a smart girl.
And I never want to work, so it's always high.
But like we said, I don't really do anything that I don't want to do, so it is always high.
Yeah.
Did I tell you I named Nail Polish Shades for OPI?
What?
They didn't make me sign an NDA, so I guess I can say that. But
oh my God.
How funny is that? How fucking iconic is that?
I love that. That's like, okay, that is like actually sort of like a dream side gig
completely
for me. I fucking love naming things.
So they reached out to me and I was like, of course I want to like write for OPI, like that'd be great.
Yeah,
because I fucking named my dog after Linkin Park After Dark.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. I was like, do they not know you named your dog Linkin Park?
First thing
dark.
I said, I was like, you were giving me this job, like don't play with me about an interview. Yeah. Like here's the receipt. And
you're like, here's my W-2.
Exactly, right. So I thought it was going to just be like, I don't know, collection copy or something, you know, it's shit I would have been happy to do. And they're like, well, the project, like, we want you to do this project for us, like, blah, blah, blah. We need you to, like, name shades in this collection. I was like, excuse me. I guess.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I was really happy.
I mean, I understand if you can't tell us what the names are, but what is the process like?
Actually, it's so funny because OPI, as you know, is like very punny.
Like too punny, maybe?
Right. Question mark?
They toe the line.
But literally every name is a pun.
Yeah.
So it's that. Obviously, they want to be like...
Sometimes they're a little reachy.
Mm-hmm. Very reachy, but clever. You know, they want to be, you know, positive. I hate this word, but like empowering. Things like that. They just don't ever like want to be negative.
I don't even
know
what that means anymore. But
yeah, same. But yeah, so essentially that. And this was... Yeah, it was cool. It was really, it was like, I was like, I can't believe this is That's like what funny. I fucking do. You know
I love
I mean?
That. I do, like, I know that names really can like make any color cosmetic like pop off, like lipsticks, nail polish, like the shades of anything.
Yeah.
So it is super important what the names are, but like some of these names.
Like, girl, some of these
what
names.
What were you thinking?
I know.
Like what? MAC does it pretty well with their lipsticks.
Yeah.
They're not necessarily like cheeky.
Right.
All the time, but they do a good job with that. But like, I feel like nail polish is where people get really fucking goofy.
Yeah, so goofy. When I was doing it at Becca, there were a few more parameters just because of like collection concept or, you know, whatever. I think we did some pretty good stuff there, but by far, they let me have the most fun with the lipsticks because like it was not a lipstick launch. It was like an addition. So there was already a little bit of a loose convention there.
Mm-hmm.
And then they marketing came. Can I say any of this? Marketing came to me and I was like, here's what we want you to do. And it like didn't like align with the collection itself. So I was like, well, here's what I'm going to do. Not that. And then I just like gave them a bunch of like other things with like, here's why I did what I did, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it worked out. And name one after you. So,
like, that's true.
It was great.
And it was like the best shade too.
It was so good.
Yeah.
It was meant to be.
A bunch of people were like, oh, I copped this. Like not even realizing it's named after you.
That's so funny.
And I love it.
Exactly.
It's like, of course you do.
Exactly.
Would I steer you wrong via someone else who's an employee at Estee Lauder? Never.
Never.
Okay.
Sable.
Yes.
What do you smell like today?
I smell like... I feel like there's no point saying that this brand is banned, but...
Oh, no. Oh, sorry.
I'm going to cut that out.
Okay.
But this is a very timely scent. It is Après by Ellis Brooklyn. And while the name, we'll get to the name. Okay. Let me talk about the scent first. Okay. It is a cool, crisp, woody scent. It's like, I don't know how to talk about this without rolling my eyes a little bit. But so, okay, it's called Après with the accent clave over the E. Après meaning après-ski, which is apparently some aesthetic that seemed to have taken off. How many years? Like semi-recently?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
It's just like Aspen vibes, right?
Yeah. It's like the post-skiing, sitting in the lodge next to a fire kind of vibe,
What does après mean?
After.
Okay.
Which is funny because if you name something just après, you're like, after what? I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the vibe behind the scent is it's après ski. It's very piney, snowy. It's cold. It's got like a little mineral element to it, but it's also woody. It's a very lovely scent. It's really nice. It's bracing and crisp, but it also has this like comforting warmth of sandalwood. At least I think it's sandalwood.
It smells to me sort of sweet.
It's a little sweet too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a great balance. Like if you're iffy about woody scents, I think this is a great balance.
It's really pretty.
It's really nice. Made by our bestie, Frank Vogel.
This is very not his energy. In a way that
really?
I like. In a way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In a way that I like.
I like this. Mm-hmm. He does a lot. I think he did like the Too Faced better than Sex Fragrance too.
He did so not.
The man has range.
Did anyone buy that or hear about it?
I do not know.
Jesus.
I did hear about it. I didn't smell it, but I looked at the notes and I was like, I already know what this smells like.
Yeah, absolutely not.
Like fruit punch. But
shut up.
Yeah, but this is a really, like Après is so lovely. I kind of like the Ellis Brooklyn scents. Their whole thing is that they're a clean fragrance brand. Mm-hmm. Which doesn't really mean anything other than that they're allowed to be sold in Credo. I got one of their more recent releases, Super Amber? Super Amber. Yeah.
Okay.
Their Amber scent, which I always bring my beauty empties to Credo because they have the TerraCycle receptacles and they're always like, they like give me points that I could use at the store, but I don't shop there, so I never use them. So I will redeem the points for their little free sample thingies, and one of them was a 10 milliliter sample of Ellis Brooklyn why do I keep saying Super Eco? That's another scent of theirs. Super Amber, which is really lovely. I do like that one a lot too. But I feel like a lot of their scents are those subtle, neutral, quote unquote, very wearable scents.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easy to see where they have mass appeal. This Après is probably the outlier.
For sure.
Yeah, in a great way. I think it's like, it's a nice little outreach for them to get away from the whole like ISO E super thing that they've got going on. But yeah, the whole like concept of Après is very like 1% to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have noticed a lot of beauty brands kind of glomming onto that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, stop, mm-hmm. stop it right now.
Yeah. I think people are really fatigued with the idea of like luxury or rather, what am I trying to say? Not luxury, but like excess opulence. The Jeffree Star of it all.
Well, like the 1% lifestyle.
Yeah.
Making that aspirational as a theme. Cool. I'm like, what?
It's like, were we talking in like all respect, but like when Fenty launched their liquid highlighters a few weeks ago, they sent this Rolls Royce truck around as the influencer activation and like picked these girls up and like drove them around for like content. And I'm just like, I am personally impressed by a car, but I am also a person. I'm not a brand, you know, like I'm allowed to like cars, but like, why?
That feels so cringe because like you get in the car, then it's like, now take your content, now do your content.
And I'm like, just like, I guess like Elf did it too. They sent around a BMW i8, which I love, but I did think that was cool, but I don't know. I'm just like, why are we bawling people out with like expensive cars and photo ops and stuff? And at least, I'm sorry, if you're going to do that, put a ring light in it.
It's
for the highlighter.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
All the content sucked because you couldn't see these girls' faces. And you're making them put on makeup in a moving vehicle and not lighting them for it. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of problems.
I do think that works though for hype.
Yeah.
Do you remember the La Mer thing where they would like send these male model cater waiters to your home and they would set up a La Mer vanity like in your home?
Yes.
Which is weird because then they take the vanity away, but you're supposed to like open it.
Keep the male model. Okay.
Yeah. Like you're, it's like a full on, like the size of a desk vanity. Jeez. And you have to like open all the drawers and it's full of La Mer and you get to keep the product. But like, they're like, okay, now we have to take this furniture structure to our next person.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a little weird. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah. Also, I live in a fifth floor walk up. So I was like, I don't want to do this to these poor boys.
Right.
Like,
right.
Not that I was asked, but still.
I don't know. I guess.
But I get it. Like, people were posting it and it looks insane.
Insane.
Yeah.
I just like.
It's for the clicks.
And I get it.
Like, for the clicks, baby.
And if any brand's going to push a Rolls around, I guess it is Fenty. I guess it does make sense. But I don't know. I'm just like, I don't. Or I feel like the consumer is not impressed by everything that they were in 2014 and brands need to start acting like it.
I do think that content is so removed from consumer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And like when it comes to influencer activations, it nothing logistically makes sense of why that would sell your product. But I don't think that's the point. I really think they're just like making hype. That's it. It's just hype.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, Tynan, what do you smell like today?
Sable, you know exactly what I smell like today. Mm-hmm. It is the fragrance that I have been texting you about all week. So, come on.
Oh, okay. I know.
We've given a lot of shine to Commodity as of late.
Mm-hmm.
Because Commodity is back, and that's really exciting. We talked to Vegan from the brand, who revived the brand last year. Mm-hmm. Really interesting conversation. I'm really happy that Commodity is back. Because if nothing else, then they had so much brand awareness in their first round.
The OG D2C.
Yeah. And sorry to sound like a marketing department when I say that, but I really do mean it in the most literal sense. I mean, they were a very, very new, very young brand, and everyone knew about it because they resonated with people in the most brilliant way. I think they have owe their entire success to book. Because, like, is that not going to sell it? So I mean that, like, in a great way.
It's so funny,
like,
too, is that I wasn't really that familiar with Book when they launched. I just, like, never got around to really sniffing that. Mm-hmm. But now that I've sniffed it and it smells so, so similar to Santal 33 and that whole sandalwood craze.
Right.
Of course it makes sense that Book popped off.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But even Book as a concept, like, you want to wear Book, you want to wear whiskey, you want to wear, like, it's just these ideas that people know and can easily relate to. More so than Baccarat Rouge 540. What the fuck does that mean?
It just means, like, I have money.
Right. It was easy to approach. The scents were great.
Yeah.
People love them, and then they disappeared. I'm happy they're back. With this new business model, I think I mentioned, with three different versions of the same scent.
Scent space, as they call it.
That I'm critical of, not in a good or bad way. I just, like, I think, it's being sold through to the consumer as different intensities.
Yeah.
And really, there are three completely different scents, and I just don't think intensity still tells the whole story.
I just don't like how they're priced differently.
Oh yeah, the price is
I don't
wonky.
Like that.
No.
But I'm okay with the way that they're sold.
I just don't think that space is the whole story. I think like they're three different versions, not even by weight, of the same scent. I mean, again, not my company, not my problem. And this is also coming from like a beauty and fragrance copyright or something.
Sure.
Anyway, when Vegan was on our show, did he or did he not? Tell me if I'm wrong. Tell us that, I mean, I know this is factual, that Milk is their first new offering.
Yep.
And didn't he sort of position it as like their take on a skin scent or like a skin adjacent something or other? I remember him saying it, like, not as a Santal, but like something very now that like enhanced whatever.
I think he might have inferred that.
I could be making that up, but I think that's what I took from that. So I was like, I don't want to smell this shit. It's going to smell like dust. You have been talking a lot about Commodity. I finally found my discovery set and I wore a bunch of them that I remember liking. I like them all just the same. Milk.
You love that one.
When I tell you, Milk has got me on some other shit. It is so good.
Yeah.
So Milk is not a skin scent, but it is lovely.
It's a gourmand.
It's all of them are based around like marshmallow.
Yeah.
And remember a few weeks ago I said I've had my marshmallow
era?
It's like, it came to me.
See, I feel like it's more almondy.
So yes, it is. It's milky. It's not just marshmallow, but it's marshmallow, almond, wood, tonka. And the three different sense are sort of three different builds. So mm-hmm. you can't whatever. But my favorite, and I think your favorite version of this as well, is the light one.
Yes. Yes.
Which I'm not a light fragrance girl, but again, there's just something about it.
The airiness or mm-hmm. something.
The light woods.
The texture of it. Yeah.
Yeah. The light woods like really breathe a lot of like air, like you said, into this and make it extremely fluffy, extremely pleasing.
It's like whipped as opposed to cream.
It's so fucking good. I think I wore this all week. I wore the other versions and I do like the middle ground of it as well.
I like the middle ground. I like the personal version more than the middle ground because I feel like it's a little bit more complex.
Okay.
With the airiness to it.
Yeah. I mean, they obviously get more, well, so not to contradict you, but like as the build of the scents obviously get a little bit some more intense and a little stronger as you go.
Yeah. The expressive version to me is more syrupy.
Mm-hmm. And the bold version is much spicier.
Yes.
I really do like all three. I am completely delighted by how much I like this scent. It is not at all what I expected. I like the light and I like the expressive, which is the middle, quite a bit. The difference is clockable, but only just, I would say.
I feel like it's more clockable on the wear.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the expressive version is more like a pastry versus the personal version, which to me is just more like a fluffy cloud of marshmallow.
Yeah. And I will say that even though their concept is like sort of layman's terms, like light, medium, and heavy, a lot of these wear the same to me.
No, I agree.
For better or worse.
Yeah, I agree.
This one, though, does maybe even today wear a little bit lighter on me, but in a way that I really like. It is light, but it is consistent, which is rare. It doesn't just burn off of you. I mean, it'll stay.
Yes.
I really like this.
Yeah.
And I love the idea of this is how I smell, but only to someone really close to me.
Yes,
forgive me for being horny,
I went to the JVN event at Chelsea Piers and we got to go ice skating with Jonathan Van Ness. And, you know, there was a photo op and we took a selfie together. And then he was like, wow, you smell really good. And I was wearing Milk Personal.
Ah.
So it is JVN approved.
Hey, love that. Yeah, that was, I mean, one of the highlights of this fuck-ass week. This has been commodity milk.
It sure has been a fuck-ass week.
Truly, I love it. Oh my God.
What?
Someone from the Britney Spears brand reached out to me this week.
Oh my God.
And was like, hey, I've been hoarding these UK only drops for you. What's your address? I want to send them.
Incredible.
And I have felt, but ever since the conservatorship has really, you know, been in the forefront of everyone's minds, I wouldn't have talked about any of her new fragrances because, like, she's not getting that money now that she is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to run my mouth. I've only worn one, but it was great.
Wait, so she's had fragrance releases that were only dropped in the UK.
Wow. So they sent me three that I'd heard of them, but like never seen. Yeah, wild, right?
Why would they do that? Why not make it global?
I have no idea.
Well, maybe this was like before fragrance was as global.
I'm not sure.
I don't know. But everything should be global in this day and age.
Right. Come on.
This is the internet.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Look forward to that, ladies.
Yes.
Sable, what are we talking about today?
Okay, so because Tynan and I know everything, we figured we'd share some of that knowledge with you. And okay, when I say knowledge, I use the word knowledge lightly.
We're not any dumber than any of these other bitches out here, okay?
True.
Please.
We're very keyed in, though. We're very attuned to the scent world. And we were like, what's going to happen next year? Nobody knows what's going to happen next year. But when it comes to scent, I think we might have an idea or two or an inkling of where things are going to go. You know, we're both like influencers, so.
I would more say like writers and consultants.
Yes.
Yes.
And so we should use our consultancy to talk about what we think the trends, where the trends in scent are going in the near future.
Smell You Later LLC Trend Forecasting 2021.
Yes, baby.
For 2022.
We will invoice anyone who uses this in a marketing document, by the way. So
literally.
We're going to get Allie, our lawyer, to chase you down.
Yes.
So I don't know where to start.
From the top.
Okay. I kind of approached it from a very wide net.
Okay.
And I think that scents in general, fine fragrance, household products, laundry detergent, like anything, the net is going conceptual. Like, not like this candle smells like cherries, mm-hmm. but this candle smells like springtime in Paris.
Okay.
Like, conceptually, a time and a place, very replica vibes.
Mm,
yeah.
Okay.
You actually showed me this really, really funny Twitter thread.
Oh,
the Yankee Candle Twitter thread.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Where somebody...
It's so funny and so good.
Where is that? A Twitter user, the handle Undeniably Alex.
Shout out to them, honestly.
Shout out
this
to
them. This is the funniest thing I've ever fucking seen. How did they get to it before we
I
did?
I know! Like, they must have thought of this for a while.
It's so good.
It's the Yankee Candle Stages of Abstraction. Level 1, the scent represents a physical object where the object's aroma is one of its distinct properties. And there's a photo of a black cherry Yankee candle.
These are all done with the Yankee candles. As
yes, yes. Okay, it's all better. Yankee candles, which I feel like is a good baseline
yes.
for what is mass level yeah. scent.
We should get them on the show. I think we've
seen we should. Holler at us, Yankee candle.
Yeah.
Level 2. And the candle is clean cotton. The scent represents a physical object in a specific state where the aroma represented is not necessarily that of the object, but rather representative of that object's state. In this case, the cleanliness is the smell, not the cotton. Very, yeah, abstract. Okay, level 3. And the candle scent is cliffside sunrise. The scent represents a location or event where the aroma is supposed to be reminiscent of an intrinsic property held by a collective of objects where that property doesn't necessarily affect the collective's aroma. What?
Girl, I don't know.
I don't know, man. That's cliffside sunrise.
What's the cliffside sunrise? Okay.
Okay. Level 4, autumn sunset. The scent represents an event with an intrinsic property. The temporal aroma is devoid of location or physical property, but a shared idea of the property is still understood. Fair enough. Level 5. Sunny daydream. The scent represents a fully personal experience with some unrelated property. The experience itself has no aroma or shared understanding. This is just like getting galaxy burn now.
Completely.
Okay, level 6. The last paradise. The scent represents an abstract location or experience which has some shared understanding but is ultimately fully personal. The aroma tries to replicate an idea as opposed to a location. Okay.
These are getting better and better.
They're getting better and better. There's two more. Level 7, all is bright. That's the name of the scent. And the image on the candle, it looks just like glitter.
Like sparklers.
Okay, level 7. The scent represents owning an intrinsic property. And a property that itself has no aroma, nor does it affect the aroma of any object of which it is a property.
Like,
I don't even know what that means, but I get it.
Yeah.
Okay, the
this
last
is my favorite one because it's
I don't even
psycho.
Know what that symbol is. What is it, like alpha, omega, level omega? What is that Greek symbol? I don't know.
I think it looks
like a horseshoe.
An omega.
Okay, level omega. And the scent is called Sweet Nothings. And the image is just like iridescent bubbles.
Yeah, it's like
Yeah. Like a bubble.
Ambient color.
Yeah, ambient color and bubbles. The scent represents a property detached from any object. The absence of an object is in fact part of the scent. Total abstraction.
Obviously, that's like the one I relate to.
Yes, and that, like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, this is where scent is going.
Yeah.
Not even probably. This is it. And it reminded me of a fragrance I read about, called The Internet.
The Internet?
Where's
no.
that scent coming from?
Quite on set.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Ew, what was the Internet scent?
It was on High Snobiety.
Yeah.
High Snobiety. That's really hard to say. So there's a fragrance called The Internet. I think it's one of those, like, it's not an NFT, but it might as well be.
God.
You know, it's like one of those, like, weird art objects that's made to just to get people talking.
Yeah.
It's available at the High Art Museum store. And I haven't smelled it, but
I mean, I can see that
the marketing or the copy around it, it's kind of just like a lot of quotes about what people think the internet smells like,
mm-hmm.
which is very abstract because a lot of people will say something like, it smells like serotonin and dopamine hits. And then
oh, God, not that
someone,
candle company.
Yeah. And then someone will be like, it smells like cable wires and like, you know, actual physical objects.
Yeah.
So I don't actually know what it smells like. I would love to know, but I kind of think that's like maybe the point of the scent.
Okay.
Is that it's like the concept, kind of like vacation.
Or autumn vibes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Like vacation, the sunscreen company released a fragrance that smells like their sunscreen, which smells like, you know, like tanning oil.
Sunscreen.
That coconutty, banana-y kind of thing. And
that shit did not last on me.
Well, it was an eau de toilette.
Oh,
yeah. It was an EDT.
Pull up.
Yeah. But the fact that they called it vacation mm-hmm. and not sunscreen
yeah.
as a scent,
yeah.
I think really broadened the concept of it. Because you could say it smells like sunscreen, and it does. It literally smells like sunscreen. But the fact that you said vacation immediately brings to mind, oh, I'm at the beach, I'm at the hotel pool. Yeah. It just like opens up the interpretation.
I think that makes a lot of sense, especially after 2 fucking years in a pandemic. Yes. Because, and I think that, you know, we've obviously seen a rise in not only like fragrance production, dude, but like people writing about fragrance, mm-hmm. like all of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot more, you know, the girls are chirping about fragrance these days. And I just think that having been, you know, trapped in the house or afraid, people are looking to be transported in one way or another. And fragrance is obviously super transportive. So
yes.
when you, I mean, anything is because of your personal experience and your memory, but when you pair that scent with this concept that is supposed to get you somewhere else, I mean, I think that does like a lot of the heavy lifting for you. And it's also so just like, it's such a reason to want to engage and
yeah.
buy, you know, because mm-hmm. you could, you know, give a fragrance a prescriptive name, you know, or you could go the opposite route and one, make the consumer super curious about, oh, what does that smell like? And also
yeah.
like, oh no, I want that feeling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's to me, it's like such a better way to rope someone
it's
in.
It's way more interesting.
Way more interesting. Yeah.
yeah. So yeah, people are really taking this conceptual idea to scent.
Yeah, I like that.
I think it's pretty cool, but it's funny because it also, how do you determine what that smells like? Is it just the maker's personal interpretation or do they cull ideas from everybody collectively?
Ooh, I bet it's a brief. Or
it's probably brief.
Rather, I bet like the name, I bet you that the name is more of a point than the fragrance.
Yeah.
I bet you in some,
maybe
in some rooms, I bet you they have nothing to do with each other.
Yeah.
So keep an eye out for that in 2022.
Scent.
We love concepts.
We do.
Something that I think is going to be big this year is something that I've been bitching about since the show started. But if some recent drops have been any indication, I think we're finally going to start seeing more coffee fragrances.
Ooh.
Because I've seen 1 or 2 coffee scents by like very large brands,
yep.
like the YSL Black Opium Extreme, like Byredo, Mumbai Noise. And I mean, they are definitely, there's enough coffee in it to clock it, but perhaps it's not, you know, the point of the scent. YSL, I think, is debatable for me, but
yeah.
we talked a lot about this year about, you know, vanilla and homey scents and how fragrance is, you know, obviously super comforting. And even though, I mean, number one, we've been trapped in the house and maybe still are, I don't know anymore. But two, you know, there is that, even if you're dying to get out, there is that like comfort of home and all of these things. And I think we're going to see a lot more just like coffee woven into scents because
yeah.
it is such a nice, like, you think of morning, you think of, even if it's not home, it's a coffee shop, it's on a cold day, you know what I mean?
Sure.
I think people have started to realize like, oh, this makes a lot of scent in scents, pardon me, scents, wait, fuck, you know what I'm fucking trying to say. And
coffee.
I think 2022.
Yeah.
It's about to run up on us.
Piggybacking off of that, I think people are reinterpreting and reformulating what a gourmand is. And they are using things that you wouldn't necessarily think are like edible gourmands.
Okay.
Like coffee, for instance.
Or
I want to say yuzu, but that's citrus.
Wait. Okay, go on. Keep going.
Yeah.
I'm going to dovetail off this too.
Pepper as well. Like, sure, pepper is a food. It goes in food. You can eat it. You season your food with it. Like seasonings,
mm-hmm.
Saffron, cinnamon,
chili,
Sichuan pepper, sesame. I've seen a lot of kind of interesting niche brands that do those things.
I've seen cumin too.
And cumin,
which I don't,
yeah.
I don't know. I like, but like not in the fragrance.
Yeah. I don't love cumin and fragrance because I think it veers to body odor.
Exactly the same.
But I do feel like people are expanding on or evolving how gourmands are made.
I do too.
Yeah.
That said, actually, we can bounce back and forth, but this goes perfectly to my second one.
Okay.
So I think that I'm just going to pair what you said.
Just go with it.
I think people are expanding their scope on what you can do with the gourmand or where you can bring in the sweetness. Even if that comes not from a note, but from an accord. Like that, I cannot forget the name of this fragrance twice. I'm sorry. Like the Valentino Born in Roma Uomo from last year that has the gourmand note of gingerbread in it.
Okay.
Gingerbread and pineapple.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, gingerbread in itself is an accord, but the fragrance does, you know, instead of giving you the bright and spicy ginger, it gives you a spicy sort of cookie-esque, sweeter version of ginger that they then interpret as gingerbread. And it wears really nicely on the skin. And paired with the pineapple, it's like very kooky, but I think it's very interesting. I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of that. Like, if not gingerbread, I think we're going to be seeing notes that people talk a lot about right now, but maybe more so in the kitchen than in on your vanity. I'm thinking in fragrances, we're going to be seeing notes like brown butter. I think burned honey or warm milk, or salted caramel has been beaten to death, but things like that. I think people are going to take gourmand and just go completely left with it. Because I think now that fragrance has become a more talked about thing, we have to make it more interesting, you know? And I don't think there's anything wrong with talking more about accords than, you know, the notes themselves. Because I mean, we're all telling a story one way or another, you know what I mean?
True.
So I would love to see some fragrances like that. Obviously, this is coming from like a gourmand girl, but I was really delighted to see that gingerbread note, because I was like, what does that mean and what does that smell like? And I was wearing it this last week.
When I hear the word gingerbread, like, I know what that smells like and what that tastes like.
Exactly. I think we're going to maybe start getting more, I don't know if complex with notes is the right way to put it, but there's going to be more storytelling around where they want to get you in the end with the fragrance. And I'm excited for that.
I mean, they got to do something about the copy. Because,
please.
Yeah. A lot of that shit just tells me nothing.
Yeah.
But I do think reinterpreting gourmands is top of.
Mm-hmm.
So many perfumers in interviews or at beauty events, they'll just say like, we never wanted to do a gourmand, or like, we all hate gourmands, but...
Rude.
Well, it's a little weird because I'm like, what's the stigma with gourmands? Yeah. And it's that their reputation is that they're so dessert-like or candy-like or just juvenile.
I see no problem in that way.
So they're like, let's try and make this more sophisticated and blah, blah, blah. And part of me is like, well, one of the most sophisticated gourmands, like Mugler Angel, which is like the first mega gourmand, which paved the way for all those gourmands you hate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was and is still considered to be like a very sophisticated high-end scent.
Can you remind me, is that a gourmand or a spicy fragrance?
I think it's both.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Genuine question, I have no idea.
Yeah. But I think it's considered a gourmand
because
it's super, super heavy on the chocolate and the cacao and the caramel.
Shit on shit.
It is shit on shit.
We love Angel.
I wish I could like dial it down. I don't know. Every time I wear it, I like it like 2 hours after.
There's so many versions of that. There's got to be an Eau de Toilette.
There is an Eau de Toilette. Okay. I think I just happen to have an Eau de Parfum.
Mm.
But yeah, that shit is strong.
Oh, yeah.
It's like on you for days.
Yeah.
Like even when you shower, it's still on you.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary.
Yikes.
Okay. I think that we're just at the beginning of our celebrity fragrance reboom. Like we're having another celebrity fragrance boom now, including influencer celebrity.
Yeah.
It's happening. It's been happening. It's going to keep happening. All the Addison Rae's and the Billie Eilish's. Who else? Rihanna, once more. Cher. Just like any.
Dolly.
It doesn't matter what industry you're in. You're going to make a fragrance.
Can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Do you think, and this is, I am showing, I'm not even showing my age. I'm showing that I'm not on TikTok. Do you think that because I have an opinion on this, and this is not shade at all. It's a genuine question. Do you think that coming from an unbiased perspective, that like a Billie Eilish launch and an Addison Rae launch hold the same weight? And I'm not comparing celebrity to influencer. What I'm asking is, you know, Billie was done by a huge fragrance brand, and Addison Rae, I can't be sure, but I think they're done by a incubator.
Yeah.
And
but the incubators also go through the big fragrance houses too.
Right. But I feel like Billie had the traditional celebrity fragrance rollout, and I feel like Addison, while I mean she is essentially as big of a celebrity as Billie Eilish, she's massive. I feel like that was very much sort of like a social media thing, like directly to her fans who are far and wide. But
I think they're the same.
Impact wise, I know celebrity, I know the influencers are celebrities. I get that. But do you think they hold the same, not even weight, but like impact in the industry to the consumer? Like, if does the same person on the street know that Billie has a fragrance and Addison has a fragrance?
Those are two different questions. I'm not sure.
Okay.
I don't know about the second question because I don't know. I feel like it depends on... They're both like Gen Z figures.
Yeah.
So I feel like they would know that. I think Billie Eilish's is more singular, A, because it's one fragrance. There's way more storytelling around it. Mm-hmm. Addison released three in a, like a collection. It's kind of like KKW Beauty. Like she did that route.
Yeah.
And like the same thing with KKW Beauty is that like she made a brand.
Yeah.
Like no one calls... Well, maybe they might, but like, because Addison Rae has a beauty brand, Item Beauty, which but I think the fragrances are under.
I don't think so.
It's different.
I think they're different. But Item, to me, feels better, for better or worse, like a beauty brand launch. Whereas the fragrances, coming from a fragrance person, like they just seem like a smaller ordeal to me. And I guess I'm wondering like where pop culture is putting its bets. Do you know what I mean?
I don't.
Okay.
Okay, right. It is just AddisonRayFragrance.com. Okay. So it's different. I think it just, because the definition of celebrity has now, does now include influencers, it's the same, to be honest.
Okay.
Like as much as a Billie Eilish type fragrance or a Rihanna Fenty Beauty fragrance seems more high end and more singular and unique, they're basically the same shit.
I don't even mean that. You know how I look at fragrance. Like it's all the same shit, and like good for Addison Rae for doing this. It just like Item Beauty, her beauty brand seemed like, you know, a launch. This, I just didn't hold the same. I didn't know these happened, and I know everything happens in fragrance with like celebrities, you know, especially that route. So
this feels like her foray into a KKW beauty.
Sure.
Like she's trying to KKW herself. Uh-huh. Like that's where it's at.
The Dolan twins have fragrances too. And I don't know who those guys are. Yeah, I just know that they're like huge on YouTube. They're boys. Okay. I have no idea. They have scents as well. And those are at least a year and a half old.
Interesting. So, like Scent Beauty does.
Yeah.
They did a scent with these two influencers, Natalie or Natalia Suarez and Delana Suarez, mm-hmm. and they did their own scent, and I can't remember how many followers I have.
Yeah.
I don't know how successful it is, but that's like the scent beauty of it all.
Yeah.
They're not really an incubator, but they're just a scent maker. Yeah. And then Scent Beauty also did Cher's scent and Dolly Parton's scent. Yeah. Okay. So I'm like, whoa, the range.
Yeah. I think it's funny because the second coming of celebrity fragrance feels like it's come from this first coming of celebrity beauty. And I know that everyone's sick of the celebrity makeup brands, but like it's not going anywhere. You know, see that in 2022. And I just think it's like the world we're living in. And like, of course, I get the fatigue, but it feels to me like very old man yelling at cloud. It's like, okay, like, yes, but this is the world we live in because
we
are feeding into these like, we're feeding into this in every way, even when we think that we're not. So, you know, like it is what it is. It's all being made by the same labs. If it wasn't Selena Gomez, it would be another fuck ass beauty brand you've never heard of. We're just putting a name to a face, you know?
Totally.
Everyone shut up about it, please.
I also feel like fragrance is so much more attainable for any type of celebrity or like public figure because they don't have to have an expertise in skincare or makeup or beauty in general because scent is so, I don't know, like open to interpretation.
Well, and on the consumer side too, you don't have to have any expertise in makeup. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone loves Selena Gomez but doesn't wear anything on their face, they may feel not alienated, but like they might not want to approach Rare because they don't know how.
Yeah.
But they would absolutely buy a Selena Gomez fragrance.
Yes.
And also the overhead for fragrance is way lower than, you know, than
having
doing
so many SKUs for makeup. Yeah.
So yeah, I think that I think you're right about that.
The capitalism people, they're just like, ding ding, we figured it out. Celebrity fragrances.
I love a celebrity fragrance. I don't care. Drag me to hell.
Fragrance. Period.
It's fun.
I don't care God who forbid. Makes it as long as it's good.
Exactly.
You know.
Please.
Whatever. Anyway, continue.
You continue.
Okay, the next thing that I think is going to be big are customizable as well as identity-based scents. Like the whole thing with like skin scents and ISOE Super, the draw, because it smells like fucking nothing, but the draw is that it's the fantasy and the romanticism of it being your bringing out some unique essence of you or some unique aura. And I think people really love that because we're all like, everyone's like a little bit of a narcissist or just like self-interested. So having something that's uniquely yours, like not in like the getting a luxury bespoke scent type of way, because that's not attainable for most people. But if you can wear a scent that like, you know, alleges to morph to your body chemistry or ones like the eccentric molecules, O1 plus iris, OS plus patchouli, or the, what is it called? Olfactive
NYC.
Olfactive NYC, where you can kind of mix elements together. Oh yeah, Ex Nihilo does that as well for like a little bit of more luxury spin. But like the whole concept around customization, I think is going to get better in terms of making it more accessible for people. Oh, and Mixbar.
Oh, Mixbar.
Mixbar. But I think people really like the idea of being able to play with scent. Mixbar?
Yeah, I mean, they came out this year. And I
was going to say, like, it's like, they're not that old.
I really like them, but maybe they don't have PR anymore. Wait. Okay, wait. Going back to what you just said and what you have told me before, but I didn't acknowledge it until I experienced it for myself. Ex Nihilo with their customization.
Yeah.
They are still a thing. Yay. When I was stopping through Bergdorf's a week or two ago, when we could still go outside, I didn't, you've told me, but I saw firsthand that you can then take one of their scents and customize it in store with like another note or another accord. So if you really like Orange Blossom or Tuberose, you can take a fragrance that you like and add more of it. That's bananas.
Yeah.
That's so fucking cool.
Uh-huh.
I love that.
I did that like a couple of years ago. I still have the bottle somewhere. I think mine was a mix of, there's not like a ton of options you have. It's kind of just like between like 4 to 8 thing, notes and stuff. Mine mixed vetiver and jasmine. Mm. Remember that? It's really nice.
I want to do that. That's so cool. I was like, wait.
But I do feel like that whole thing. And like when I mean like identity based is like you.
So how do you see that coming to life? Do you see, well, I guess to your point, Bulgari did that whole thing, that whole launch this year about fragrances and intensifiers.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And Kamadi
was cool.
With the personal, expressive, and bold. Like,
in another way, but for sure.
Yeah.
Do you see it being more of like a layering concept that Kaylee always talks about?
I do feel like people still can't wrap their heads around layering.
Yeah.
Because fragrance is like a lot of times not intended to or meant to do that.
Yeah.
And I also still think that a lot of people on the mass average scale don't want to smell too strongly.
Yep.
So they probably think that layering fragrances is just going to be way too perfumey.
Mm-hmm.
The Kaeli fragrances, if you layer them, you will be in a very thick cloud of fragrance because on their own, they're all quite strong.
Yeah. But I think that's how Kaeli is meant to be worn, though.
Yeah.
Is like strong.
Yes. Yes.
We love
exactly. them. Like they're a perfume brand for people who are obsessed with perfume.
Absolutely.
Like 100%.
Absolutely. Yeah. We love them for it.
But then like identity-based scents as well, because now suddenly everyone's incorporating gender neutrality into the way they talk about their scents. And it shouldn't have to be said, but it also needs to be said because everyone's confused.
Yeah, you and I both know. I agree. I think the best way to not gender a scent is just not to say anything, which actually, to their credit, Kaeli does.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't exactly think of them as a non-gender brand. What I mean is, I think you just shouldn't say anything about it at all, but you are right where
they're just like, that's really nice, but is it for men
Men or for women? Exactly.
I'm like, that's not the right question to ask is, do I like this? Not
right.
If it's for men or for women.
But I think you do have to put it on a product page.
I know.
You know, unfortunately.
You have to say it so people are like, oh, so this is for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, there are people who still have a very, very
binary view of gender.
Binary, superficial view of fragrance.
Well, and also, I mean, there are ways to do it, I guess, like with campaign visuals and stuff. Mm-hmm. You could put a photo of a man and a woman, or yeah. you know, people across the gender spectrums, yeah. or whatever. You can show instead of tell, but at the end of the day, like yeah. any brand is going to tell you, you have to say it.
Yeah.
Even if it's for all genders, you know what I mean? Like, so.
Yeah. That's why I also think conceptual fragrances will pop off, because they also tie in by nature their lack of gender, like Replica's Lazy Sunday Morning. Mm-hmm. Like you can't even think, assign or imply a gender with that, with a name like that, you know?
They did though.
Did they?
They used to. I don't think really? They do anymore. But when Replica oh. dropped, it would say like for men and women, or for men. Flops.
Oh, you're right.
I would be shocked. No. Still,
you're right. But I do remember that. I think every single tagline for that did say for men and women. I don't remember seeing okay. one that just said for men or just said for women.
I think one of them did, but I could be wrong okay. in saying that.
Maybe the lipstick one.
That maybe Fun Fair Evening. Maybe the barbershop
Anyone
one
can
said for
go
men.
To the fun
I don't know. It probably. I'm sure they don't anymore.
Mm. I'm waiting for Harry Styles to drop a fragrance.
Oh God, I'm waiting. He probably waiting will. For Harry Styles to fall off the face of the planet. kidding.
Anyway, cutting that up.
What would a Harry Styles fragrance smell like? He doesn't look clean to me.
That's not a bad thing.
I think he's very attractive.
I was going to say, I was like patchouli and musk.
Yeah, for sure, yeah. for sure.
He's the patchouli bully.
He should have done fragrance before nail polish.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think that would have popped off way better than those four, frankly, boring looking nail polishes.
Say that.
It's just, the bottles are cute, so but the good. Colors are so boring.
Yeah.
Bro, yeah. Come on.
So I'm sort of stealing this idea from you, but... I think maybe I'm just saying the same thing over and over, but I think we are going to be like mining the industry for more interesting ways to do like the same thing. Mm. Like if we're looking for a bright note, I think we're tired of talking about citrus.
Yeah.
I think we're tired of talking about bergamot also because no one knows what the fuck it is.
It's an orange.
Right. But I think.
That's why yuzu.
I think that's
She's
why
the girl.
We're going to be talking about yuzu. Mm-hmm. We're going to be talking about passion fruit.
Yeah.
Things that sound
kumquat.
More... Kumquat. Starfruit.
Starfruit.
You know, like mm-hmm. things that can get you to the same place. And yeah. I don't, you know, probably
more
smell very similar.
More global
can
ingredients.
Can we say exotic? I'm not even sure.
You can say exotic if it's an object.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a person.
Sorry if I sounded Republican. But yeah. I
think we're, yeah, like more exotic, more global sense.
Global.
Absolutely.
Global,
yeah.
For sure.
I think globalization of scent, 100%.
I think Fenty's, weirdly, I'm sorry, but I think Fenty Skin does a really good job of taking really exotic fruits or mm-hmm. like nuts or whatever and bringing them into their very run-of-the-mill product and making that seem more like elevated and mm-hmm. global. And I think that we're going to be seeing a lot more of that in our fragrance. And I think we should. Like, I'm tired of seeing like citrus... jasmine and wood, like, give me something to get excited about. Like, I'm sure that gingerbread shit that I'm like, I keep talking about is the same shit as everything else, but it seems cooler. And like, that's what I want. I put a wrapper on it, baby.
You like really glommed on to the gingerbread note. And
I love gingerbread.
And I feel like in my mind, I just would have been like, eh, whatever, another designer fragrance.
But it's like a men's fragrance and yeah. it's like a cute gourmand yeah, note, yeah. you know, and it's, I don't
that's true.
That.
I think fragrances that are for men will get more interesting.
I hope.
That are marketed for men, I will say.
Oh, I don't know, though. But then you look at, like, Burberry Hero or this the new John... I'm going to say the name wrong.
John Varvatos.
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 And just all felt like... Just, like, butt-chugging shaving cream. Like, I can't. I'm sorry.
Oh, my God. Butt-chugging
like,
shaving
it's
cream.
It's just, like... unfun.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm trying... Well, okay. How many for men fragrances have I smelled this year? Not that many. I'm thinking of like Burberry Hero, yeah. which I did enjoy.
You liked that.
I did kind of like it.
I liked it better than I
expected. It smelled a little toxic.
Yeah.
But like...
They all do.
In like a way where you were like, this isn't for me, but I'm attracted to it. But I know it's bad, but I'm attracted to it.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. I guess not. Now that you say that, like, I guess I haven't really worn... a ton of for men scents. And if I did, it was for this show or something I was working on. It was never like really by choice.
Yeah.
Not to, I guess, I don't know. I just look at everything as for everyone.
Yeah.
But when I think of like what I own, there is a very small corner of it that is marketed specifically for men.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, like Bath and Body Works sent their new and holiday releases recently, like last month, and they included a new fragrance for men called, I think it was called Clear Horizons, which again, to me, sounds pretty neutral on a gender front.
Agreed.
But when I smelled it, I was like, that smells like toxic masculinity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oof. Like very cologne-y kind of like, yeah. I don't know.
Bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It didn't smell great. But like places like them, maybe because they are appealing to a mass audience who still considers fragrance in a very gender binary way, like they have to make it clear. Or like, what was that? Was it a Twitter thread that you sent me about the mahogany teakwood?
Yes.
And mahogany teakwood is one of their best-selling scents.
Yeah.
So much. I don't know if it was a candle first or a men's fragrance first.
I don't know either. I think it was a fragrance. I'm sorry. I think it was a candle.
I think it was a candle first, and then it became, they like made a fragrance off of it.
And that, per T. Kyle, is the same fragrance as Fierce by Abercrombie & Fitch.
Right. Yes, yes, yes.
I think, I forgot
what was the line from the tweet?
The tweet was something like, I burn mahogany teakwood when I want my apartment to smell like I have a husband or something like that, which is so true.
I know, it's so funny.
And also, and maybe this is me being ignorant and too binary, but I feel like Bath & Body Works carries men's fragrances first and foremost for women looking to buy for their husbands or the men in their life, their sons, whatever.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think that is just an added value of like, it's you. We know you're here. You're looking for something. It's the same price point as everything. Everything else, throw it in the bag. Whatever.
Yeah.
So you're appealing to men, but marketing to women.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Which is kind of how fragrance was originally.
Yeah, I guess if marketed. You're in a department store, it's doing doing the same thing anyway.
Totally. Fragrance cologne. When back when it was called cologne, was marketed to women to buy for their husbands,
right,
or sweethearts.
Yes.
Yeah.
That.
That was the end of my list.
That was the end of my list too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't feel like I can be like, this note's going to be popular. This note's going to be popular. Like, I don't know about that.
I can.
You can.
And I do.
Yeah, I know. Like, I feel less confident about
I'm
that.
I'm fully with you though on the customization element as well, because I personally respond to that, but I am difficult. But we've seen enough of it already that I'm like, oh, this is going to pop up. Also, also in skincare, we're seeing quite a bit of it. Or it's like trying to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. I still think people are also still too confused about skincare to be able to feel confident in doing that.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I do think it's the next frontier of everything in beauty, though.
Oh, in beauty in general. Absolutely. Totally. Yeah. Well, fragrance in general, I feel like, has skyrocketed in terms of relevance, interest, sales, thank God. In the past 2 years. Yeah. So people
are our listens. Hey.
Yes. So people in general are just way more obsessed with scent. In every aspect of their lives. Okay. Because they're like, if I'm going to be washing dishes, like I want it to be a pleasant aromatic experience.
Hand sanitizer.
Hand sanitizer.
You know,
yes.
Touchland.
Yeah. Every time I whip out my little Touchland hand sanitizer, everyone's like, oh my God, what is that?
I had a friend over last week and it's like, what are they? Of course, I have like 8 stacked in the clear boxes. Like, what are those things? I'm like, well, they're iPads.
Yeah. Well, everyone's like, did you get that from the Apple store?
Yeah, they look like an Apple product.
They do look like an Apple product.
But they smell good as hell. They don't smell alcoholy at all. Mm-hmm. And they're a scent-based company by Givaudan now. Not by Givaudan, but they did the scents.
And right.
Yeah, I mean, people are no longer fucking around with fragrance. Even, you know, like to your point, that your everyday, very utilitarian products, if you look at brands like Native deodorant body wash and I guess SPF, like they are an extremely affordable, extremely accessible brand that is based around scent and does like seasonal scent drops, which I think is really exciting, whether I like engage or not. It's cool that is what's driving the brand, and it's
totally
clear that's working. You know,
I think also because if you're making a product that's been made by hundreds of other brands, like deodorant for instance, or like hand sanitizer or soap, you have to know that scent will give you an edge. Mm-hmm. So I think everyone's just realizing like, oh, scent itself can sell a product. Like, wow, we should really focus on this and not make it shitty.
Even when we were talking to the Dewy Dudes, you know, when I don't know why I talk about Fenty Skin all the time.
You do.
But we're a fragrance podcast and people were so up in arms about Fenty because it had someone's fragrance. Understandable. But like it or not, like, Kendo brands like that, brands that are made by companies who know how to get things off of shelves. Like, yeah, they know what works. They would not have scented the products in the way that they did if there was not data out the ass showing that, like, YouTube's going to hate this, but the consumer at Sephora who doesn't care is going to snatch this up. Yeah. You know what I mean? It is part of the sensorial experience, which creates loyalty. It creates a feeling. And like it or not, you know, I mean, I don't care about something my skincare. And I understand what people do, but it ties you to the product and it does sell.
It does. I do feel like if they were iffy on whether that would be a detriment, they're just like, oh, but we have Rihanna, so it doesn't matter.
True, it's a perfect storm. Fenty Skin, the only skincare brand that I know. Yeah. Like, don't even use them except the cleanser. Anyway.
I still have not tried their skincare, but that's okay. Don't. I have so much skincare that I need to use up before it expires. Yeah. So, and I still get sent shit. Right. So, like, truly, I have no more space for it.
No.
Clean fragrance. I actually think that people are going to move away, not move away from clean, because I don't think it's like, you don't, it's not like your options are like clean or dirty.
Yeah, right.
I just feel like people are finally getting it into their brains. It doesn't fucking matter if you market something as clean or not, because it means nothing.
I totally agree with you. Yeah. I do think that especially like the beauty girls are really starting to understand that, like, oh, none of this means anything.
Like, maybe you can put it in like an FAQ, but
that doesn't matter when the gatekeepers like Sephora will not take you unless your marketing is consumer facing.
Fair,
clean.
Fair.
So
fair.
When I heard when I was at Becca, I don't think they can get mad at me for saying this. They were doing a bunch of research on just like clean marketing and whatever. And I was told that like, we're not going to have clean marketing in 5 years because everything will just be clean, which, okay.
Which should be.
I mean,
also, the word clean, again, it doesn't mean anything. It's a marketing
term.
It doesn't
mean anything at all.
Yeah.
But
people put things, every brand now has like a note, like things we never include in our products. And most consumers like don't even know what they are. Mm-hmm. You have to Google them. But also a lot of the ingredients they put are not ingredients that you would even find in that product anyway.
You would never find formaldehyde in a beauty product.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You would.
So it's like it wouldn't be in there. Like, you can just put, like, gasoline on the list. Right. It's like, we wouldn't, obviously not.
People talk about how the UK is so much more strict, and they are, but they talk about their, like, 1,500 list of, no's. But, like, exactly, gasoline's on that list, and it's like, well, okay,
you can
stack a grocery list full of things you're not going to buy and talk about how long it is. It doesn't make it relevant to the product.
Exactly. It's just another marketing tool.
Yeah.
Stop marketing to me. Just, you know what?
Please.
I guess I can't do that, technically, but...
Right.
But, yeah, I feel like the whole clean scent thing is just like not relevant anymore.
For some reason, it strikes me hardest in scent that it just falls on deaf ears or like makes the least sense. I'm like, what is?
Yeah, I think it's also because it's not as it's like you don't rub it on your skin.
I guess you do like feel like you're breathing it all day though. Yeah. So I don't know.
Yes and no, I guess.
Knock it off.
It's like people who think that scented candles are poisonous. Like they're not. Started. They're not.
They're not.
But yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. That's all I thought for 2020. That's as far as I can think about 2022. That's the safest I can do in future thinking without just having like a neurotic anxiety attack.
We gotta make it past 2021 at this point.
God. Yeah. I mean, it'll come.
Fingers crossed.
Faster than you know it.
Yeah.
I need... No. See, I'm not gonna spiral into already thinking all the things I have to do for 2022. No, I'm not.
Should I buy a new laptop?
Yes!
As a write-off?
You should buy a new laptop. Dude. I'm not gonna lie. This thing... slaps.
Let's off our conversation. Mm-hmm. Well, girls.
Well,
tell us what you think is coming in fragrance in 2022. I bet you will have some great answers as always. Yeah.
Or what you would like, where you like would like to see scent going in the future.
Yeah. Let us know.
Future scent.
Maybe we'll do a Tuesday question.
Ooh, maybe we will.
I work from home this week.
Oh, good. I don't work.
Follow us on Instagram at smellylater.mp3. I'm at TynanBuck.
And I'm at SableToothTigra.
And until next time, we will smell you later.